Everybody that's watching online today that couldn't make it into the building, we want to welcome you into our service. Maybe you're watching on Facebook Live or our website. We're thankful to have you join with us. Let's give all those folks a hand right now. Welcome them. Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you about some good news today. There's plenty of the other kind of news, right? Anybody read the headlines this week? Anybody just avoid the headlines? You don't want to read the headlines. It's going to be bad, right? Well, I went through the headlines purposely this week. I wanted to see what was going on in the world today, and I dug up some headlines that maybe you've heard of some of these. The first one happened Wednesday morning. The headline was talking about the day before Tuesday, and this is the local San Marcos paper, "The Storm That Wasn't Then Was." Then it was. This is the storm that's supposed to happen on Monday night, but it hit Tuesday morning here in San Marcos about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and it rained 7.5 inches in San Marcos. And some of you suffered some flood damage. Thankfully, it wasn't as bad as some other floods, but that was in the news. That was a headline. Also, there was a bus attack, Dortmund bus attack. They arrested some folks in there that were claiming to be Islamists. You've heard that type of headline quite a bit in the news across the globe. Maybe you have not heard about this one, though. There was a cat missing from Denver that was found 9 months later in Dallas. It was found in a trash can. Oh, probably getting something to eat. Hungry, man. It's a long journey. That's the incredible, y'all remember the Incredible Journey years ago, that movie? Well, that didn't happen this time. She got a long way off and got stuck in Dallas. All right, here's another headline. China urges Trump to pursue a peaceful resolution in North Korea tensions. Any Trump headline is very interesting. And China's in that one. North Korea, I don't know if you heard, but yesterday North Korea tried to test a nuclear bomb. Didn't go well, thankfully. But those are headlines that are happening. Gorsuch was sworn in, so the Supreme Court now is filled. There's no more vacancies in the Supreme Court. So Gorsuch was finally sworn in. How about this one? Arizona man accused of stealing a woman's purse on the first date. Not really how you want the date to go. But that was ABC News, April 11th. That was this week. How about this? There's a study done by University of California at Berkeley. The students there did a research project. They studied why shoelaces fail, why the knots come undone. This was published in Scientific American Journal this week. They discovered that shoelaces fail because shoes go in motion and they hit the ground. It's just amazing research done to determine why shoelaces fail. But that was a headline this week. And then, of course, everybody saw this headline. United Airlines drags a man off the airplane. Man, that was brutal for that guy. Very difficult. Some of you might have a flight scheduled with United. Be at ease because they have introduced new travel pillows. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is a new United Airlines travel pillow. In case you have a flight with them. You know, when you boil down news to its most essential element, something happened. Something happened. Seems obvious, right? That's what news is all about. Something happened. But the truth is, there's a lot of fake news out there right now. Something actually didn't happen. So real news, the most important part about real news is that something happen. As a result, the situation will change. And it will change for those specific people that the news happened to, and it will cause a ripple effect to everybody around those people. So something happened on Tuesday. Flood happened in San Marcos. Something happened. A flood happened. It affects those people that were stuck in those areas of town. They couldn't leave that area of town. Cars were damaged, floating down the frontage road of 35. Some homes took on some water. Those particular people are affected by that situation. So something happened. As a result, things change. And then there's a ripple effect. So now when we read that there's a storm coming tomorrow, potential 4 inches to 8 inches of rain, fear is in the hearts of people in San Marcos because we remember the bad news. There's something connected to the bad news and our future because it's something that actually happened. It might happen again. It might happen to somebody that you know. But there's an interesting part of news stories that you know, but you probably haven't thought about. And that is that there's a period of waiting. So the event happens, it's reported, here's the news, and then there's a space of time that happens after the news that you live in that space of time. And so that news affects the way you think and the way you live and the way you plan and all that because of what happened. Well, Christianity is all about news. Christianity is all about news. Christianity is all about something that happened. And that's not what really people think it's about. As a pastor, I see people every single week that are suffering difficult life situations. And they'll come into my office and we'll sit down and we'll talk. And it's very tempting for me as a leader to give them advice instead of news. And so they come in, hey, my marriage is not doing well. I'm tempted. I'm tempted to do things that are not right, that are against my spouse. And so as a pastor, I could give them advice. I could say, hey, you know what? Instead of going to this place, go to that place. You need to send her more texts. You need to have accountability in your life and start giving all this advice to solve their problem. Do this and this will happen. Or maybe finances are failing, and so let me give you some advice on how to deal with your finances. Budget this way, save this way, don't spend that way, invest over here, and give you advice on how to spend your money or save your money. Maybe you're a parent and your kids are involved in something that you're not happy about, and you need help parenting. So it's tempting as a pastor for me to jump to advice. Hey, if you're going to be a good parent, parent this way, don't parent that way. Here's some people you can talk to. They'll give you good advice. The whole point of advice is do this, and this will happen over here. You do this, and you'll get this desired result. And let me just say before I go any further that there's nothing wrong with advice. Advice is good. We give advice. We do give advice. We teach and preach advice here. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not about good advice. The foundation of Christianity is grounded in good news, not good advice. This is a very, very important truth that you might have just glanced across. I mean, this is a sermon that's very difficult to preach because 99% of all Americans have heard the word gospel. They've heard the word good news, good news, good news all your life. But you don't apply it to your life like news you would read in the newspaper. You twist it and turn it and try to apply it as advice to your life. Even salvation. Hey, do this and you will be saved. Don't do this and you will be saved. That's what we've turned Christianity into, is it's all about you and your salvation, and it's all about you and your happiness, when that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is all about news, good news. And so think about it this way. There's two scenarios. The first scenario is this. You're sitting in a Starbucks in Detroit, Michigan, and you are from Detroit. Let's just pretend, okay? Anybody here from Detroit? Michigan? Michiganders? You're like the cat. You lost your way, and you're in Texas right now. You're sitting in Detroit, and we all know if we've read the news that Detroit has suffered quite a bit recently in the last decade with their economy, with crime, different things like that. And so there's a heaviness over the city. People are moving away. People are trying to find prosperity in other areas. So you're sitting there contemplating your life in Starbucks, trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And some lady bursts into the door and says, I've got great advice. I've got good advice for you. Okay, let's hear it. What advice do you have? Well, she sits down with you and you get out a spiral. You start taking notes of all these good advice. Okay, first thing you need to do is start saving some money. Second thing you need to do, I'm going to teach you how to write a better resume. So I'm going to teach you how to write a resume. It's going to look awesome. It's going to look appealing. Everybody's going to want to hire you. Let me give you some advice on how to save over here and coupon over there. And she wants to show you full ways to network with people so that it'll increase your, you know, your accessibility to other people, your exposure. People meet you, networking, all. So this is good advice. Like, man, this is good advice. This is really going to help me. I'm going to do all these things, and it's going to make me better. Okay, that's scenario one. Scenario two is this. She bursts through the doors. I've got good news. Wow, what's the news? What are you going to tell us? The good news is that Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, Google, they're all moving to Detroit. And they're bringing all their jobs and they're bringing all their manufacturing to our city. That's a completely different scenario than scenario one, isn't it? Scenario one, I'm responsible for everything. Scenario two, something else has happened. And as a result, it's going to change our culture. And that is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have come here today to proclaim good news for you today, not good advice for you today. I've come to tell you that your life doesn't have to be the same because, or better because you are going to do something about it, but instead because someone has done something for you already. And there might be a period of waiting, just like there would be in Detroit. In Detroit, if we got that good news that all these things are going to Detroit, oh, that's awesome. Oh, I'm excited. All this prosperity, all this financial resource coming into our city. That would be amazing. Yeah, we'd celebrate. But guess what? It's going to take several years before those companies ever get here. And so we have to still live a period of our time waiting in expectation of the fulfillment of all those things happening. But we wait differently, don't we? If we know that there's a fulfillment coming and that good news has been declared. And that's exactly the context of the gospel of Jesus. Actually, the term gospel was used before Jesus. And they used it, the Romans would use it. Julius Caesar was the first Caesar. Julius was the first Caesar, and he died a few decades before Jesus was born. And when he died, it caused Rome to go into a civil war. And there was two different men that were sort of in line to become the next Caesar. One was Octavian and one was Mark Antony. And so for 13 years, Rome went through a civil war. And it was brutal and it was very, very difficult. And then the news came. They began to proclaim the news across the land that Octavian had won the civil war. Mark Antony actually committed suicide. So Octavian would become the new Caesar. This is a statue of Octavian, who they would later change his name to Augustus. And we know that from the Bible. Augustus Caesar was the Caesar that came after Julius. And they began to proclaim good news across the land of Rome. Good news! Mark Antony lost, and Augustus has won. We will be ushered into prosperity because the good guy won. When you look at history, you can see that for 200 years, Rome enjoyed prosperity because this man became the Caesar. And in those days, they called him a god. They called him a son of God. Augustus is our Caesar. He's our Lord. He is looking out for us. And they would actually worship him. And so when we look at Jesus Christ, who is born in the reign of Augustus, and we see what he meant, not just to that geographical area and not just for 200 years, but the life of Jesus, the miracles and the teaching and the fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus lived out, the disciples then would go across those same paths and say, good news, the Son of God was born in Bethlehem. He took on your sin. He died on a cross and he rose from the dead. This is good news for you. We're proclaiming it throughout the land. And here I am, 2,000 years later, with the same message. Sin is the author of bad news. Sin is the reason why you get anxious watching or listening to the news feed. Sin has contaminated and plagued our world since the Garden of Eden. And as a result, our world has been on a course of destruction ever since. The Bible says that the whole earth groans. The whole earth, not just you because you are facing bankruptcy or someone else because they're facing diagnosis, but the whole earth, I mean, even the earth itself, the people, the animals, the plants, everything is groaning for its renewal. And it is in that presence of sin and destruction and separation from God that God intervened into the story. And instead of being an author of a story separated from the timeline, he steps into the timeline himself when Jesus is born. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All the earth had trembled. The sun had hid its face. All the men that walked with him had turned and run away. They crucified the Savior and laid him in a tomb. The life that once brought love and hope slipped away that afternoon. Satan gleamed with pleasure the day at Calvary, for he thought he had won a mighty victory. And like him, all the demons of hell began to cheer, but little did they know their end was growing near. Because early Sunday morning, just like Jesus said, he broke the curse of sin and death, and he rose up from the dead. Now we have a new beginning in a kingdom that has no ending. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive! He's alive. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The curse of sin is broken and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The stone they threw away is now the cornerstone today. Death has no more victory and the grave has no more sting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Wonderful, wonderful Counselor, a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the precious Prince of Peace. His word lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. There's a new headline that I want to introduce to you today. And it hasn't been in Newsweek. Go ahead and show it up on the screen there. It hasn't been in Newsweek yet, but it was back in the day. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. Paul wrote the article that was attached to this headline when he wrote it to the Corinthian church. Christ died for our sin just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sin. And if our hope is in Christ only for this life, we will be more pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. Let me stop there just for a second and say this. On Wednesday, we buried a precious 2-year-old little girl. Demi was beautiful. 1 month from being at her third birthday. Precious curly brown hair, beautiful brown eyes. Passed away. We laid her to rest in the ground. But because Jesus rose from the dead, I stood at the casket and I said, Jesus didn't want this to be the last goodbye. Jesus didn't want this to be the sunset that ends for eternity. So he came for you and for me, so that one day he will appear in the sky, the angel will blow the trumpet, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first, meeting the Lord in the sky. Colossians, there's another article that Paul wrote. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. And if you're here today and you're struggling with mistakes that you have made in your life, you have come to the right place. Because I'm not going to tell you to go out those doors and try to fix everything so that God will like you again. That would be good advice. Go out and fix your life. Go tell them, do this, do that. And then come back and you can have a relationship with God. Then you can have eternal life with God. That's not what I want to declare to you today. What I want to proclaim instead is good news. Jesus gave his life so that you could receive your forgiveness in the room today. Before you do anything good. Before you go and right all of your wrongs. Before you go out and fix everything. Jesus gave his life. He canceled the record of the charges against us. And took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And that is the good news for you today. You are forgiven. Because you say, but I've done so much. To be with God would be so much work, so much cost, so much payment. It's so cheap for me to just come in here and say I'm forgiven. That's so cheap. That would be cheap if no one had already paid the bill. Jesus knew how expensive it would be for you to get to him, so he pays the bill for you. That's why he went to the cross, is so that he would take your place of suffering. And then on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's actually separated from the Father, abandoned on the cross, the place that you and I deserve to be at. So the good news today is that anyone in here today, anybody watching online today that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? The first question, next week we got this sermon series coming up about questions, and people ask the question, when am I saved? what does salvation mean? Does it mean something here? Does it mean something? We're going to talk. We're going to answer that question first thing out of the gate next week. So we're going to go into depth about that. But look what Jesus himself said. Jesus wrote an article for you to read too. A rich young man comes to him and says, hey, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, go sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. Well, the rich man looked down and it's like, there's no way I could do that. So he goes away from Jesus, abandoning Jesus in eternal life. All the people around him were stunned. How do we do this? How can we do this? And what the power of Jesus is this. When you see him, when you see how awesome God is, you would do anything to be with him. You would give up anything to be with him. And it's not a loss. In our terms, we think if I'm giving it up, I'm living like a hobo. I'm going to have a terrible life. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. Mark 10:29, Jesus said, I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property, and that's pretty much everything, right? If you give all that stuff up for my sake and for the good news, you will receive now. Somebody say now. Come on, say now. Yeah. You'll receive now a return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. Persecution's in there too, just FYI. And then in the world to come, when you shift from this realm to the eternal realm, that person will have eternal life. Would you stand to your feet with me right now? I'm speaking to some people in here today. You've been struggling because you didn't understand how this works. How does all this work? You're in the middle of the declaration of good news and the complete fulfillment of it coming to pass. So I've come to tell you, you might have to wait a little bit longer to see the fulfillment of God, but you do it with the hope and the expectation that he's never going to fail you. He's never going to forget you. So we gather up today, right now. We're gathering up all the parts of our life. We're gathering up the good stuff. Some of you came in here today thinking, man, I really nailed it this week. I haven't cussed since Thursday. I knew Easter was coming up, so man, I've been fighting with my wife in a few days, and I'm getting good grades at school, and I got that bonus. But there's some parts of your life that you've pushed aside and pushed away because you can't face them. You can't deal with them. People that have done you wrong, people that have betrayed you or hurt you. And then there's things that you've done yourself that are wrong. And so this is what the offer is today. Bring all you got. Bring everything of who you are and slide it across the table to Jesus and say, you can have it all. I want what you got. I know that's not good English, but it's good preaching. I want what you got. Give it all. And I'll give you everything. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Close your eyes. In the name of Jesus, Father, this is a moment of great destiny and salvation for many people. If you're in here today and you're ready to hand over the keys of your life to someone else, then let's do it right now. And all you got to do is say something like this. Jesus, I give you my life right now. Please forgive me of my sin. I surrender everything to you. I give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I believe in you, Jesus Christ. I put my faith and my trust in you. I put my focus on you, Jesus. I declare that you're my God and my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive me of all my sin. Now let's say this. Say something like, Lord, I make myself available. Fill me, Lord. Baptize me, Lord, with your spirit. Baptize me, God, with your power. I want the fullness of everything that you declared, God, every promise that's in your word. God, I just say I'm available to you. In this life right now and for eternity, forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. Come on, clap your hands to God right now. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Y'all can do better than that. Hallelujah. He has risen. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. Come on, one more time. Let's give God some praise this morning in the house. Woo! On Resurrection Sunday, praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated this morning. Y'all look good this morning. Looking good. Look at your neighbor and say, man, you look good. Now turn to your spouse and say, baby, you look good too. Hey, welcome to the Promised Land. We are so happy that you've come to worship the Lord with us on this amazing day, Resurrection Sunday. We got to hear the good news this morning, but we want to welcome all of our guests. If you take a look in the seat back in front of you, you'll see a card that says, welcome, you're new, aren't you? We would love, love, love for you to fill out that card, and here's why. There's amazing things that are happening here at Promised Land, life-changing things that are happening right here at Promised Land, and we want to help you get connected to what God is doing here. Amen? If you flip that card over, it says, Pastor Robin, please pray for. We want you to know that if you write your prayer request on that card, we pray over that card multiple times in the week. Pastor Robin prays over the cards, the staff pastors, the staff. We've got prayer teams that come in during the week that pray over that card as well. And so we take those needs that you give, we take them to the Lord. Amen. Let's give all our guests a hand this morning at Promised Land. Man, the seats are full. I love it. I love it. I love it. We're going to continue our worship and our giving this morning. And we're going to take this opportunity to give financially to God. And today we're bringing our regular giving, our regular tithes and offering, but we're also giving our special 2020 vision offering today. And there's a number of different ways that you can give. We'll put that up on the screen. There's a number of different ways, all kinds of ways. But let's quickly look in this scripture in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Today we're going to live out that scripture. Today we're going to give big. We're going to give cheerfully and boldly. And for the last 2 months, we've been praying as families. We've been praying about the offering, the big vision offering that we are going to be giving today. And as a church, we've been praying. And God is doing some amazing things. This special offering today, folks, is going to go to our international missions. We have adopted a village in Las Hoyas, Guatemala for the next 5 years. And this last year, we went to Las Hoyas. This is a little village way up in the mountains. They didn't have clean water. They didn't have any clean water. In fact, there were three villages that were fighting over the water, and some people died. But because of your giving, because you gave, we were able to bring life to that village. We were able to bring clean water to that village. Take a look at that picture. That is life. As soon as we turned on that faucet, People were crying in that village. It was amazing. It was amazing. And not only are we adopting that village in Las Joyas, Guatemala, but we are also taking on 5 pastors and their churches from Cuba. We are helping the gospel go forth in that country. You get to be a part of building lives from the ground up. And here's what's also exciting. Not only do we have international missions, but we have missions right here. We are wanting to build a building in Lockhart. Amen? For our own Lockhart people. Do you believe that God is big? We believe that God can do that. We really do. And so we're excited. I'm excited. We're going back to Guatemala this year, and we're going to build a kitchen and a playground for the school. This is amazing, folks. It's amazing to be a part of this. And it's also amazing to support Cuba and support León, Mexico. And we want you to know this. Check this out. Today, we're going to do something really big and really special. If this is the first time that you've given to Promised Land financially, we're going to take 100% of your giving and send it to international missions. Let's give God a hand for that this morning. Yeah. Amen. Let's go into a couple quick details. Take out that envelope in the seat back in front of you. Check out the envelope. We want you to know that there's 2 places to give today. Your regular tithes and offering, you just write it up at the top. But anything that you put in that other blank, that's going to go to our 2020 vision. Our 2020 vision. If you give by texting is such a great way to give. You can text to the number on that screen. But the very first text that you send, that will go to your regular tithes and offering. But we have a way if you want to give to the 2020 vision. By texting, just put .20 on the end of whatever you give. If you put $1 million there, put .20 and we'll send it to our international missions. Let's pray over our offering right now. God, you're so big. We just are so thankful that you gave. We're so thankful, God, that you gave big. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for your death, burial, but thank you for your resurrection. And God, we give you all of the praise today. We give you all of the glory and the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to worship.
I was lost with a broken heart. You picked me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash, I am born again. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You are more than my words can say. You are, here we go. But you are.
clap of praise. Yeah. Ah, God is good. God is good. We want you to know that at the end of every service, we'll have people down here to pray with you if you want to pray. We also offer baptism at the end of every service. What a day to be baptized, a new life in Jesus Christ. But if you need to go, go in the mighty name of Jesus. We will see you again here next week. God bless you. We love you. Amen.